Cape Talk. What's on?
And this What's On feature is brought to you by Matilda, the musical. The musical of the decade is on from the 11th of December to the 13th of January at the Artscape Opera House. And we'll be bringing you some interviews pertaining to Matilda on tomorrow morning's show. It is to musicals we still turn with Tracy Saunders. Tracy, Auntie Mull is back at the Baxter Theatre. Good morning.
Good morning, Africa. Yes, she is indeed. With Merle and Matilda and Lang Arum, there's definitely a wide choice of musicals on for Cape Townians this season. Auntie Merle is, of course, Mark Lottering, but known by another name. And it really is, in my opinion, one of the finest South African musicals that we've seen on stage. And the fact that it's been so popular has meant that this is the third time it's come to the Baxter, and it has also toured to Johannesburg.
Because it's not unusual, I suppose, because we're seeing it more and more with musicals. We had that with District 6 Kanala, for example, last year, where a significant portion of the Fugard's programming was filled with that. And we'll talk about Lang Arum in a moment. But South Africans are responding to musicals as an option, as a choice, as far as theatre entertainment is concerned, and also responding to their stories being reflected on stage.
I think definitely, and you know, in some ways, you know, theatre is often seen as inaccessible, and I think some people, and it's often, I think, the theatre industry's own fault that we make it seem this very esoteric way out there thing. And I think, you know, everybody can relate to musicals, and a lot of people find that more enjoyable than sitting through some tedious diatribe, which they just don't feel any, you know, connection to. Whereas I think with a musical, it's got, you know, you walk out with that feel-good factor, but it's not just a feel-good factor. I think what Auntie Merle does very cleverly, it's not just all song and dance. It touches on some really interesting South African issues, you know, around race and class and the history of the country and the history of Cape Town in particular, you know, Belgravia Road, the very vast distance in life experience between someone who lives in Belgravia Road and someone who lives in Camps Bay, and yet geographically they're not that far apart. And in many ways, for me, Auntie Merle highlights so many issues in Cape Town that, you know, maybe other kind of more wordy plays would grapple with, and yet, you know, Mark manages to put it across in a way that all the characters are completely believable and relatable. You can, you know, you'll encounter any number of them in your daily, you know, activities during the week and on the weekend. And yet when you see them on stage and they're telling their story, you can really see, actually, you know, that makes sense to me in a way that maybe some other form of entertainment wouldn't. And I think that, you know, for me, Auntie Merle in particular is a particularly fine musical. And of course, the, you know, although there's not just song and dance, the dance and song that there is absolutely, extraordinarily brilliant.
All you have to do is reflect on the Flair de Cup nominations that announced earlier this year to tell you how good the singing is, particularly in this production. And people who know Mark Lottering will know the character Auntie Merle, and while we see aspects of that obviously on stage, it is not the Auntie Merle as you know it, where she's going to stand in front of you for 20 minutes and make you laugh while she's retelling some very, very poignant and important stories involving Cape Town.
Exactly. And I mean, it's not like a kind of slapstick stand-up comedy humor. It really is. It's got a very definite storyline. And I think the other characters in the play are as fully fledged as Auntie Merle. In a way, she's the person that knits them all together. But, you know, there's two... So in a way, it's got a little bit... You know, a little bit of a Romeo and Juliet, although nobody dies, kind of feel to me. You know, so it's got the depth of an intricate family story woven into it, but told with a lightness that really only a Mark Lottering can bring across. And it's essentially Cape Town. I mean, that's what I love about it, is it's just so Cape Town. You can hear when you're watching in an audience with people that are from all over the country. And of course, at holiday time, people in audiences are not necessarily all just from Cape Town. And you can hear where the people in the room from Cape Town are sitting by, which lines they laugh at.
Exactly.
You know, I think so he's managed to get that across very, very well.
It's on at the Baxter Theatre until the 5th of January, with performances starting at 7:30 evenings, Monday through Saturday. And there are some additional performances, including one this afternoon at 2 p.m. Also on the 15th, on the 22nd, and the 29th, and the 31st. On the 29th of December, additional matinee performances at 2 p.m. On the 31st, they've got a special show that then starts at 8:30 in the evening that will build up to the lovely New Year's celebrations at the Baxter Theatre. And then the 5th of January has another matinee at 2 p.m. You can go to Web Tickets to go and buy your tickets. David Kramer has brought us a new one at the Fuga Theatre called Lang Aram.
He has. Unfortunately, I haven't had a chance to see it yet, and I suggest that if people want to go and see it, that they rush to the box office and get tickets, because seats are literally selling like hotcakes. You know, in true David Kramer style, he's returned to the, you know, the place of memory of District 6, and it's quite fitting for it to be in the Fugard Theatre, since Fugard literally sits on the very cusp of this border between the city and what was known as District 6. You know, I think he's also managed to tell a love story, but again, you know, as with Auntie Merle, doesn't shy away from the harsh reality of South Africa. David Kramer's managed to look at what it meant to be, you know, white and coloured in, you know, in South Africa during the time of apartheid, and really delve into what those relationships between people mean and how they then function in their daily life. And again, with a song and a dance, but I think that the song and the dance manages to almost kind of help one swallow that bitter pill of a deeply tragic and sad story.
Indeed. He's set it in 1965 when Diana Levine is widowed. She invites her nephew Jeff, whose fiancé has just dumped him, to help her manage her late husband's Canterbury Hotel. And here he meets the lovely young ballroom dancer Angelina. And when she asks him to partner her in the Swaziland Ballroom Championships, he sees it as an opportunity to humiliate his ex, aware that he'll risk arrest by flouting the law. He throws caution to the wind and agrees. It's on at the Fugard Theatre, and you can go to thefugard.com for more details on performances and how to buy your tickets. Two performances today, one at 3 p.m. and another at 8 p.m. Thank you very much, Tracy Saunders. As always, she'll be back on the airwaves in no time, no doubt.
Cape Talk. Find out what's on.
It was Jeff Aliff, actually, in the first hour who made reference to the beach cleanup that will be taking place today at Sunset Beach in Blouberg. And here to tell us all about it is the founder and director at Beach Co-op. That's Ania Omadin. Ania, very good morning and welcome to the show.
Morning. How are you doing?
I'm very well, thank you very much. Now, in an hour and 9 minutes, you'll be calling on Cape Tonians to gather at the Sunset Beach in Blouberg to come and clean up. I suppose the why is easy to answer, because we do need to take care of our marine assets, really, that are so important to the community of Cape Town. But what are you hoping for people to achieve later on this morning and afternoon?
So we've been working closely with the Two Oceans Aquarium as a collaboration. And this is the last one for 2018. We've done three more cleanups earlier this year in March, June, and September. So we're really trying to get people together to not only clean the beach, but use a methodology we've developed with Professor Peter Ryan from UCT. And it's called the Dirty Dozen methodology. So those are the top 12 most commonly found items on our beaches in South Africa, so specific to South Africa. And the idea there is for people that attend and participate to log those 12 items in a scientific method, so using citizen science in a way to create awareness on what items we can avoid.
And we cannot stress enough the importance of this, because unless we're able to quantify, I imagine, the damage we're contributing to the environment, we won't really see the kind of change in behavior that is so necessary in Cape Townians.
I agree with you 100%. We're trying to quantify so we can understand how we can manage better.
All right. Yeah. So at 10 o'clock, people are asked to gather where along the Sunset Beach Strip, and obviously to bring along what with them?
So it's along Sunset Beach that the signs will be clearly marked to get to the beach. And I'm sure that we have a couple of regulars that have come to the previous cleanups. And really everything is provided. We have the clipboards, we have the Dirty Dozen sheets. If you need gloves, I'd say bring gloves along. Maybe there won't be enough for everyone. And pens, everything's provided, bags. So off you go. And it's a really wonderful way to be outside in nature and be doing something good for the environment.
And one has to be fit enough, obviously, and healthy enough to do this?
Definitely. It's also good to bring along some water and try and bring it in a reusable bottle, of course, so that we're not adding to the problem by purchasing water in plastic bottles. And if you are going to purchase water in a plastic bottle, make sure that it's made from PET1, which is the most easily recyclable plastic. So, yeah, and bottles are, in fact, one of the Dirty Dozen items. So you'll be counting them, and perhaps the penny will drop when you're counting, and you can try and understand how you can avoid buying certain types of plastic.
Indeed.
Some of the highest numbers, because we've got the data for the last three cleanups, individual sweet wrappers comes out tops at 4,712 wrappers that people have picked up in the last. In the last three cleanups. So that's our top Dirty Dozen item, and it's for the exact same beach. So we chose a specific beach that we wanted to be able to compare over the year.
And obviously, I imagine in the new year, you'll then be able to collate all of that data, process it, and then present and say in the year 2018, this is the amount of damage you were causing to this beach.
Yes, that's exactly the intention with the Two Oceans Aquarium. It's been wonderful to work with them. They obviously have a huge pool of people that they can call upon. And the September clean was so well attended because it was also International Coastal Cleanup Month. So, the number of people that arrived, they arrived in the Two Oceans topless bus as well. Everything was organized for people to really be able to participate. And processing that data set was quite a massive task, but we managed to get through.
It's a lovely problem to have, Ania. I hope you are overwhelmed once again today with numbers of people coming to the Sunset Beach in Blouberg at the end of Ferrata Drive to be part of the Trash Bash cleanup that is happening there today. It's something that the Beach Co-op is doing in association with the Two Oceans Aquarium. Thank you very much to Ania Omadin, who is the founder and director at Beach Co-op.
Cape Talk. What's on?
A charity concert will be taking place later today, showcasing local comedians and performers. All of this in aid of the Anthea Peter Safe and Foster's Home to raise funds for the children. Asiya Adams is the organizer of the Kids Are the Future charity event that we'll be talking about. Asiya, very good morning and welcome to the show.
Good morning. How are you, Africa?
I'm very well. Thank you very much. I can hear that you are absolutely well. I imagine you are counting down the hours to the showcase.
I am, and the kids at the Anthea Peters home couldn't sleep last night. They were all dressed. They were bathed and dressed, and they can't wait to perform today. So, yeah, I'm excited just listening to them.
That is amazing, Asiya. And before we perhaps talk about who else will be joining the kids on stage, tell us about the home. How long has it been around and what is it hoping to achieve?
So I've been around with the home since 2008. Anthea has given up her home to the kids way before then already. So basically she's the safe home when the state doesn't know yet where the kids are going, which is such a sad state of affair. She then keeps them. Our kids have been there for 10, 12 years already. So it's supposed to just be a safe home until there's an alternative. But with processes and systems in place, unfortunately, they're not checked on again by the state. She takes care of them. They all come from broken homes, either sexually, emotionally, or physically being abused. They're as young as babies of newborns, so it's either a newborn baby, and they reach the age of 18, 20, they're still at the home. They're our family. They're not kids of the state to us. They're not that label. And basically, it's the social services and South African police that brings them there. She earns 1,500 rand on her late husband's pension, together with another 3,000 rand that we get as a sponsor. And at any given time, we have between 15 to 27 kids. It's her home, so she just gives it up. The kids sleep three on a bed. We've got really bad conditions. Somebody did a homemade renovation, so it's unbearable in summer, and it's freezing cold in winter. And that was my purpose for doing the concert or setting up the concert.
Yeah. because unfortunately this kind of work is desperately needed in South Africa, and the government cannot provide all the services and money necessary to run this. So who will be joining the children on stage later on today?
Oh, so excited. So I've got, like you said, top comedians. I've got Ismail Moses. I've got Keenan Cerf, who opened up for Trevor Noah. I've got Eugene Matthews, not at all a stranger to the comedian world. I've got Kagiso Mokgadi, who is a very, very close friend of mine, also top comedian, been on stage, been out there already. Everybody knows him, and I am a little biased. He's one of my top comedians. I've got singers, Cole Adams, 18-year-old, to open up for the Jazz Festival. He was also at the Festival of Light, switching on. Joshua Daniels, they all fall under the RBL label. It's a friend of mine, and she said, look, I've asked them, they're on board. Then I've got Jam, that's the only central group, Bring Me Back My Love song that everybody knows in Cape Town. I've got the three of them performing. And then last but not least, absolutely honored to have Claire Phillips as our guest artist performing at our show tonight.
She's absolutely amazing. That show taking place at 5 o'clock this afternoon at the AFDA Film School on 18 Lower Scott Road in Observatory. You can buy your tickets at Quicket. They will cost you 150 rand a person. Thank you very much, Asiya Adams. Have a wonderful concert. Peter Doreen and GWB Entertainment, in association with the Royal Shakespeare Company, are proud to present Roald Dahl's Matilda the Musical, the multi-award-winning musical from the Royal Shakespeare Company, inspired by the beloved book by the incomparable Roald Dahl. Matilda, the musical, is a story of an extraordinary little girl who, armed with a vivid imagination and a sharp mind, dares to take a stand and change her own destiny. Matilda, the musical, is on at the Artscape Opera House from the 11th of December. Book now. It's 9 o'clock.